Okay, this is Frank Maloney with Jim Hobgood, and you're listening to Who's Talking. We're glad that you're with us. We're about to bring on Wally Walker, but before we do that, we got a caller, Michael, here in Richmond, who called and asked some questions about recruiting. Question basically surrounds the fact, Jim, that Virginia's not had a coach that can recruit in basketball, great facilities, great school, et cetera, et cetera. I would take some exception to that. What would you say?
Well, we'll find out about Coach Bennett next August and September. People need to keep in mind, you know, he was hired last April, and the recruiting for the current basketball season was already completed by Coach Leto and his staff. So basically, Coach Bennett was playing with the hand that was dealt him by Coach Leto. So Coach Bennett has six kids coming in next year. That will form the nucleus of his program going forward. And I'm excited about those six kids. KT Harrell from Alabama, the Johnson kid from California, Reagan from New York. And, of course, the one thing I think is significant, Billy Barron, the most recent recruit, his father is the coach at the University of Rhode Island. And rather than going to Rhode Island and playing for his dad, he decided to come to Charlottesville and play for Coach Bennett, which I think is a real tribute to Tony Bennett and his coaching staff. So I think the future, in spite of the nine-game losing streak and the tough year this year, the future is very bright for Virginia basketball, in my opinion.
I agree, absolutely. Tony Bennett's shown that he can really coach them up. He got us off to a great start. Then there were a few issues, and the league gets tough, and Virginia will get tougher through good recruiting, and we're looking forward to those six recruits next year.
And speaking of Virginia basketball, we have an icon of the Virginia basketball program, former teammate of mine, number 41, Wally Walker, one of six retired numbers at the University of Virginia. And I take some small degree of pride that two of those six I played with, Barry Parkhill and Wally Walker. Of course, at this time of year, we remember the 1976 ACC tournament run that Wally and Mark Ivoroni and others led Virginia to their lone ACC tournament championship. We'll talk about his reflections of that shortly. It was the Everett Case winner as the tournament MVP that year in 1976, the only Virginia player ever to win the Everett Case Award. Went on to a significant and illustrious career in the NBA. Was a NBA executive with the Seattle Supersonics for a number of years. Now is in the investment management advising business, still lives out in Seattle, has three children, one of which, Joe Walker, hopefully will be a legacy kid for the University of Virginia here in another 3 or 4 years. Wally, are you with us?
Yeah, hey, Abba, how you doing?
Doing well. Since we're on the eve or maybe 2 days away from the ACC tournament, I know you may get tired of talking about it, but take us back to 1976 and that run that Virginia made beating the 3-2-1 seeds to win the tournament title.
Well, first of all, I don't get tired of talking about it. but it was a while ago. Well, you know, I'll do the executive summary best I can, but it was a magical couple of days for us. And what people forget to the degree they remember anything that long ago was we were a pretty good team going into the tournament. Our record wouldn't reflect that, but we were in every game and lost a game at the buzzer to North Carolina. And, you know, we had a young team, with the exception of me, and young guys just came together in February. So we had a lot of confidence going in, which belies the fact we were 4-8 in the conference. So, you know, people think it's crazy that reflecting that we won that from where we came, but we went into it thinking we could win it, and of course you're not going to win it unless you think that.
Well, not that anybody cares, but the Hobo memory of that tournament, of course, that was at the Capitol Center in Landover, Maryland, a facility that doesn't exist anymore. It's been torn down, but Linda, my wife and I were able to go to the first round game, which back in those days was Thursday. The tournament was Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Because of a commitment with my then boss, Congressman Robinson, had to go back to Fredericksburg, but this ties in. On Saturday night, we were at a reception at the home of Charlie McDaniel, whose son subsequently was one of the all-time linebackers at the University of Virginia, Charles McDaniel. Right. But Linda was downstairs on Saturday watching the game. She came up the stairs crying, and Mr. Robinson asked her what the problem was, and she just belted out, "We won." You know, she was they were tears of joy. So a very, very nice memory from that 76 tournament. and Wally Walker and company. Just you know, sports is all about memories, and that's a great memory for Virginia fans and certainly for Wally and his teammates.
Well, Capital Center seated 19,000 or thereabouts, and I've had about 50,000 people tell me they were there that night. So I welcome every one of them. Glad they were there.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Wally, this is Frank Maloney. My father and my mother were there, and they actually called home every day after the Virginia games, and they were crying. I've never heard them so happy. They were so excited. I still have the ticket book from the tournament, which my dad gave me. He said, never let anything happen to it. It was a good luck charm. So,
yeah, what we need to do, we need to win another one before too long. As you said, Wally, 76 is a long time ago, but certainly right. A nice memory. But let's come up to the present time. I know you're out in the state of Washington. Coach Bennett was at Washington State. What is your opinion and thoughts about Tony Bennett as the Virginia head coach?
Yeah, well, I had the opportunity to watch his teams at Washington State for the previous 3 years, and I had never met Tony, but watching his teams play, in fact, just over a year ago, I saw his final game, regular season game, when Washington State played here in Seattle against University of Washington, and I sat right across from his bench, so I got a good chance to observe him. Of course, that was some time, at least weeks before he was involved with the Virginia job, but it was a great admirer of the way his teams play. They were in every game, and won more than their fair share. And just, you know, they were such a smart, tough team. And he got kids, recruited kids to Pullman, Washington, too. So while he didn't have great talent, he did get some kids to go there. So when I got a call, when he did get involved, out of the blue to ask what I knew about him, I just said, man, if we get any chance of getting this guy as our coach, he'd be perfect from what I know. The other data point I had on him was Bobby Weiss, who you guys may remember, particularly you, Hobbo, coached with us here in Seattle for a dozen years, then went over and did the broadcast for the Pac-10 games, did a lot of Washington State games. So he told me unsolicited a couple different times over the years, this guy is a really, really good coach, has the right temperament, demeanor, communicates great with the players. He'll succeed at any level, at any place.
Just a quick question. And my recollection is Tony's dad, Dick Bennett, was the coach at Washington State for, what, 3 or 4 years before Tony took over?
I believe 3 years, because I think Tony was there a total of 6 years, 3 years as an assistant for his dad, and then succeeded him for his 3 years as head coach.
So I think that's important to realize, you know, that some of those initial growing pains of building a program probably occurred under Dick Bennett, not Tony Bennett, and Tony was there to, and I'm sure he did a lot of the recruiting, you know, on behalf of his dad. So the success that came ultimately, he had a lot to do with.
Right, and then they're not recruiting McDonald's All-Americans. They did a great job, and Tony obviously was involved in all that in the recruiting of identifying kids who you know, turned into players. And of course, they had a hand in developing the kids they did get to go to Pullman, Washington.
Wally, a question has been posed to us from several emailers. Did you have any part in terms of helping Craig Littlepage or John Oliver or anybody else from UVA in terms of an assessment of what Tony Bennett was doing at Washington State, or in some way, shape, or form introducing you, Tony, to some of the folks in Charlottesville?
Well, I did get a call to ask about him, but in terms of an introduction, not at all. You know, they were well aware of Tony, and again, I had never met Tony, didn't know him in the least. But when I was asked my view of him as a coach, I was, you know, as I said, you know, wildly enthusiastic of, you know, about him. And then, of course, after I met him, that enthusiasm was reinforced because he's just a terrific guy and great fit. And you guys who are following, you know, more closely than I can are completely right to be enthusiastic about Virginia basketball and what he's going to do with the program.
You know, the funny thing is I went over for the introductory press conference on April the 1st last year, and I was driving home, and I called my wife, Linda, and I said, you know, this guy was born to be the basketball coach at the University of Virginia. I just think he's an unbelievably good fit for what we're trying to do in Charlottesville and to build a program. But, well, I was just going to ask you, and of course you have an NBA and a college perspective. What's your sense of college basketball in general today? Is the sport healthy?
Well, it's really healthy, and it always will be. You know, with the NBA taking younger players, you know, the talent level is down a notch from when it was when guys were staying for 4 years, and I guess that's the most obvious thing you'll hear. But it doesn't diminish at all the excitement, just the great specter of a game with the enthusiasm. Of course, the NCAA tournament has become one of the great sports spectacles in our country. So, you know, I don't think there's anything that can diminish the strength. And I think it's going to compound with time, as we've seen in the past, for the game of college basketball.
Wally, a lot of talk recently concerning the TV bidding and so forth, the rights package, and the potential pressure that they're going to expand the tournament from 65 teams to 96. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, where do you stop? And why don't you do every Division I team? If you start going down that path, I like the current format. I think it's terrific. I think it's meaningful when people sit around and wait to hear if they were selected. I think if you expand beyond that, you lose a lot of that. And you know, you guys probably have a lot of fun on the radio talking about who deserves to go and who doesn't. I think that's an important part of creating enthusiasm. That's this great. Three-week tournament.
Yeah, we look forward to having Virginia back a part of that discussion, hopefully starting
next year,
because Selection Sunday is kind of depressing when you're, when you're not on the board. But I was also going to ask you about the potential NBA lockout in 2011. One, do you think that's going to happen, and do you think it'll have any impact on kids, underclassmen this year, making a decision relative to coming back to college?
One, I'd be totally shocked if it doesn't happen, given the economic state of the NBA and where salaries are relative to what teams in the league can generate in revenue. I think it almost has to happen to get the expense line, which is mainly player salaries, in line with what the teams can do and generate in revenue. I just had a conversation with David Falk, you know, the Uber agent, today, and we were talking about it, and he's certainly in that camp, so he knows far more about it than I do.
Now, if there's a lockout, not to jump in, but would you see a whole season being washed out or just a portion, or how would that work?
Oh, you know, you can never gauge how realistic either side is on where they start and where they'll end up in the process. I do know there are a lot of teams and franchises that wouldn't mind missing a season at the least, because actually they're better off economically by not playing games. They would be playing games, paying the salaries, and losing money. So their motivation is to get the right economic deal, and they're going to have great patience in that. As it relates to kids coming out, you know, I suppose on the margin, you know, it could influence them. But you know, they get so much bad advice from people. You know, there's always about 100 college players that are being told they're going to be first round picks. And too many come out that they shouldn't anyway in any given year.
Hmm. So if you were Sylvan Landisberg at the University of Virginia, would of course, he's had a few issues here starting last week with the suspension because of, I think, missing some classes. But there's a lot of speculation as to whether Sylvan will come back to school or not. But from the standpoint of where you see things, what would you tell him to do? And I realize that may put you at a disadvantage because you haven't seen him play on a regular basis. But what you know.
No, I'd give him generic advice, just like I have for everybody, including Sean Singletary back when he was going through it. Which is, if you can get a guarantee from a team you're going to be a first-round pick, then no one can argue against you coming out of school. Because then you get guaranteed money, you're going to be with a team, you know that for sure. But if you can't get that guarantee, and you can sometimes. Somebody say, yeah, if you're there, I'll take you. And you know, there are people in the NBA you can trust, and you know that to be true. Okay, fine. Then you have an agent who can talk to the teams. If you have that guarantee, that's a fine decision for anybody. But if you can't, and if you're going to be a second-round pick or not get drafted, then you're cut adrift. You don't get any guaranteed money, and there are only about 30% of the second-round picks even last longer than a year in the NBA. So it just makes no sense for kids to take that risk for coming out of school unless they know they're going to be in the first round. From what I know, and I'm not that current, but from what I know, and I still have friends in the league, I would doubt that Sylvan could get a guarantee to be a first-round pick. But anyway, my bias is always for players to stay in school. I think they're better off. in the long run for in life, and the basketball will take care of itself.
Well, I think from what I've seen, not that I'm an expert, I'm certainly not an expert from an NBA draft standpoint, but I think it would benefit Sylvan to come back and play at least one more year of college basketball, and I have to try to eliminate my bias because I think he certainly could help Tony Bennett's team next year if he does that, but nevertheless, we'll just have to see what happens.
Well, he improved so much this year under Tony and his staff that he would greatly benefit and put himself in a much better draft position if he would stay. By the way, as an aside, I think the right plan for the NBA is just what baseball does, where high school kids, you know, could enter the draft, but if they don't, then they have to stay in school 3 years. It's better for the NBA, it's better for the player, it's better for the school if a system like that would be put in place.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, speaking of the NBA, any chance you would go back in some capacity with some team if the opportunity presented itself?
No, and it has presented itself, and it's been an easy one for me. I really like what I'm doing. I can't say it's in polite company, but I can say it to you guys. I'm running a hedge fund,
right.
And I did it before, and I like it a lot. I don't get any sleep but from being out here on the West Coast, but I love the challenge and the business, and I've gotten a couple of calls, and the other thing for me is I've got children who are 13, 12, and 9 years old. I'm home for dinner every night, and for my 12 years running the Sonics, I bet that was one night out of seven. I could say that.
Probably a lot less travel now, too, I would think.
That's right. No, I'm more in control of it. So, no, I'm happy doing what I'm doing, and I follow my friends who are still in the NBA, and that's enough.
Wally, as we always do with every one of our guests, do you have a favorite moment as a Cavalier that you can put your finger on? And if so, what is that?
Other than that year that Habo was a teammate of yours.
Yeah, that goes without saying. If I could get two passes from Habo, I can't remember.
Yeah, that's right. With right. Gus Gerard, Barry Parkhill, and Wally Walker on the same team, I never got a shot.
I've got a great visual. Of course, we went way back memory lane when we won the tournament in 76, but my memory comes from there. Is the game is almost over. It looks like we're going to win it. And you guys talked about the emotion, the memories from people who were there. But I looked around the court, and we were shooting free throws, and Billy Langlo, Bobby Stokes were making free throws that clinched it. But the game was over. There's only a couple seconds left, and I watched the people, our fans, you know, dressed in their orange, come down close to ring the court at the Capitol Center. And just to look at those faces, the emotion that they were conveying to me as I looked at them, I felt like your wife Linda Habo. I wanted to cry right there, just because of, you know, long suffering fans and never having won a major sports championship, and just to be able to share that with those folks was
it's funny that. You have to play the game to understand, but that's really what it's all about, those moments like that. And there's a lot of disappointment in athletics, but those moments of celebration are things you cherish for your whole life.
Yep, absolutely. And, well, visual, again, we belabored enough. It was a long time ago, but, that's a clear memory.
Well, Wally, we have enjoyed tremendously having you with us tonight, and hopefully we can bring you back down the road to talk about the UVA basketball program when things are looking up a little bit. And we've got 6 big recruits coming next year and hoping they can lift Tony Bennett's team.
Yeah, no, well, I have no doubt. I talked to Tony about it, about his recruiting class a couple weeks ago, and we chatted, and he thinks that those guys, a core of them, are ready to help next year. And, the future is bright for Virginia basketball, and we've got the right guy.
Well, thank you, Wally. We appreciate you being with us. I know you got to go pick up your son at school, so thanks for joining us. We'll definitely look forward to visiting again.
Okay. Thanks, Frank.
Hobbit. Thanks, Wally.
Good chat. Okay.
All right. We're headed for our last break and looking forward to bringing everyone up to speed on all the other Wahoo sports shortly.